This is Ozarks at Large. A few decades ago, and a few hundred miles from here, doesn't sound like a completely different world. But Joan McDougall reminds us in her new memoir, Daddy's Money, that the southern edge of Arkansas in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s could be quite different. The book, Daddy's Money, is published by the University of Arkansas Press and offers stories of her childhood in Arkansas County, but also insight to her parents' lives and their parents' lives. Joan McDougall is with me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me.
First of all, the town that you grew up in, or near, on the cotton farm, the proper
Rice farm.
Rice farm. Rice farm. Yes, rice farm. The proper pronunciation is?
DeWitt.
DeWitt.
Now, there will be people who will contest that. It's like mm-hmm. New Orleans. There are many ways to say it, but most people, I think, say DeWitt.
You strike me as someone who would be the perfect person, the perfect stranger to sit by on a plane trip.
Oh, no.
Because you tell such marvelous stories.
Thank you.
And they don't have to be sensationalistic, but I was just drawn in to any story that you might tell.
Oh, thank you.
Have you always, you're a poet, so I'm assuming that you've always had a desire to tell stories in some fashion.
In some fashion, but this is the first time I've attempted a long prose piece, and actually it's not that long. It's 170 pages. It seemed like it should have been 600. It took me so long to do it. But yes, I guess I have always wanted to tell a story. And after all, that's the thing that makes us human and keeps us human. And people always want to tell a story. And they have stories. If you can draw it out of them, they want to tell it. Mainly, I was doing these stories. I've written this book, in a sense, in all my poetry books. But with this, I had a chance to extend the characters, go farther into their personalities, kind of try to hook it all together, and try to figure out how I became who I am. And it was due to these quirky, compelling people that I grew up with, and the time frame.
Two of the people, of course, you grew up with were your parents.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting for you, their child, to look back, and we see them through you, but you wanted to see them differently as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you started finding a few letters that they had written to each other, especially that year apart, they had both attended the University of Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
but there was a year where they were apart, and you found some of those letters.
Oh, my mother and dad were hoarders. Mm-hmm. Not as bad as the people on TV, but close, which is a great thing if you're going to write a memoir, because then you have this vast archive, family archive of letters. There were many letters I wanted to find that I did not find, but I had a wealth of letters that my mother had saved that her husband-to-be had written to her. And I found a few that he had saved from her. So, yes, I had their love letters, which was tantalizing and wonderful.
And as you write, and so many of us, I think, have this same experience with our parents, when you found the first time you found a love letter, you were...
I was about 12.
Right. And to think of your parents as people who could have been passionately, mm-hmm. newly in love. But you said that made you feel good to know that.
Well, at first it was, I couldn't stop reading. It was like getting into a big, huge box of dark chocolate candy. I couldn't stop. And then afterwards I thought, this is marvelous. If they loved each other that much, they must love me. And I think that's true. I don't know how I came to that idea, but it was nice.
They met at the University of Arkansas.
Yes.
Both of their names are on Senior Walk.
Yes, that's right.
But they came from much different backgrounds.
Much different cultural backgrounds, yeah. Economic backgrounds.
Right. Mm-hmm. You write that your father had a car in college at a time, mm-hmm. not only because of the time, mm-hmm. but because of the economic situation. It was 1929. He had a car.
He started college in 1929 with a car, graduated in 33. My mother started a college a year behind him. She did not have a car. She barely had the money to come. She had to get grants, loans. Her folks had to scrape together whatever they could. She was the first person in their world to ever, I think, finish high school, and much less go to college. She had, and I tell about this in the memoir, she had two dresses, one for school and one for college. And yet, when they met, they fell deeply in love, even though they were from these vastly different backgrounds. My mother came from a cotton farm, mainly cotton, up in Cabot, and a rocky farm that didn't yield much. Mm-hmm. My granddad grew corn and cotton. My father, on the other hand, had been fortunate enough to be born into a family that had 1,100 acres of very good farmland in southern Arkansas and raising rice. But even then, his folks must have scrimped and saved a lot, too, because nobody had any money. So how did he have a car? I don't know.
You're right. Your parents remained in love for all their days until your mother died 10 years before your father. Mm-hmm. But you remember as a child that there were some heated discussions.
Yes.
And among those heated discussions, your mother's desire to maybe not live on that farm that he grew up on and that you were growing up on for the rest of her life.
That's right. Yeah. Mother remodeled that house. She was brought there to live as a bride into the house that had belonged to first my grandfather Gayro built it, my father's father. My dad lived there all his life. And mother, even though she remodeled it to her own taste, she hated all that dirt and dust that was around the farm. And there's no getting around it. You can't get away from that.
And
you can't get away
too.
From the mosquitoes, which are really the worst thing. So she just hounded my father endlessly to move to town. I could read you a scene.
I would love that, yes.
Yeah.
And it should be pointed out your father was frugal as well.
My father was a very hard man to figure out. Frugal in many ways, and yet he never skimped on me and my sister. We had, he sent us to college. We had nice clothes. We took vacations. He was very frugal about buying farm equipment. He bought 2 pieces of new machinery, and he must have farmed for 50 some odd years. But mother now, mother, the arguments I most remember were about move into town. Even after my mother remodeled and redecorated the house, acquiring all the appointments of silver and china and cut glass the house could swallow, she continued in her campaign to move to town. She wanted out of the stuff of which my days and nights and dreams were made. Sounds of mosquitoes, killdeer, and tree frogs, endless fields, honeysuckle and orange aching moons. Dust, mother hounded my father endlessly. Dust and mosquitoes, I just despise them. Our house was an easy 3-mile drive from town, partly on macadam, partly on a dirt road straight as a broom handle. Indeed, the dust did spew behind the car in vaulting rooster tails. It settled on everything in the house, invited in before air conditioning by the attic fan. Even after the house was outfitted with window air conditioners in the mid-1950s, allowing us to close the doors and windows, dust found us. In spring and summer, battalions of mosquitoes sauntered through the finest of fine mesh screens. My father would respond to mother's haranguing that he was not about to live in town, that she had, after all, married a farmer. "For God's sake, Ruth, you knew what I was when you married me," he would storm. He reminded her that she had a damned good life. If she'd wanted the 9-to-5 trimmed grass, "Know what every day will bring you kind of life," my father shouted. "She should have married that weasel she dated before him, a dentist, for Christ's sake."
Now, you and I are smiling as you read that. But sometimes when, as with any child, when you hear your parents argue, that can be unsettling.
Very unsettling. I always thought, I think most children do, that when things go wrong between your parents, it's your fault. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be a sort of human psychological thing.
As you become older and start to think about college, there are really some episodes that remind us how different it was for a young woman of your age as compared to a young woman today.
Yes.
Stevens College is where you were going to go.
There was no doubt about it. Even though I didn't want to go, mother and daddy were footing the bill. It never really occurred to me that I could go get a job and play my own way.
When you were growing up on the farm, you saw this dramatic change from manual labor and the hiring of temporary workers to do everything to a time when farms became much more mechanized.
Yeah, I did see that change, and I regretted the change because there was a flow of colorful characters that came on that farm at harvest time. Migrant workers passing through that wanted work, people who hung out in DeWitt waiting for work. A harvest was when they made some money and they could support their families for a while. And then my dad would take me into what I thought were great big woods. They probably weren't that big, but the woods of Nady and Titchener down around the White River Refuge. Mm-hmm. And that was a great adventure. And he would go to these men's house, the houses of the men, and talk to them. And I was never, I was a girl, so I was never allowed to stand there and listen. But I watched all the body language. And I could tell whether my dad was going to be able to hire that man or not, just by the way the man walked and stood and how my father looked when he came back to the pickup.
That has to be part of the genesis of a poet right there, that you're picking up, because that's what you have to do as a poet, right?
Observe
those small things.
The little details.
Yeah.
Yes, and I don't know why am I the person, like many other poets, who picked up on details? I don't know. I guess the reading, because my mother read to me, and I saw the images and the books, and I picked up on the language. And I went to church religiously with my parents, and the King James Version of the Bible was being used with that beautiful language. Then the hired man had a lingo all their own, but it had a certain rhythm. But yes, to be a poet or any kind of writer, you've got to pick up on the details.
The name of the book is Daddy's Money, A Memoir of Farm and Family, published by the University of Arkansas Press. You'll be back in Fayetteville on Saturday, September 10th.
Right.
At 1 o'clock at the Fayetteville Public Library, part of the
Ozark Writers Live.
Right. Event.
Something.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I loved being here.